already. Okay. Thank you for waiting. Well, you went very well, Fred. Everybody will get a pair. What page are we on? 89 A1. Okay, so the last question that he asked was why we have these earthquakes. Why we have the earthquakes, and he said because of Trumas and Maestras. And then he said, and then the Gemara quoted to Psukim. The Gemara said, "Bisman Shaisin Tzarchal Makom." Then Hashem's any Hashem is in Eretz Yisrael. It's a good thing. Otherwise, it's not a good thing. So that was, and this is a series of questions. Eliyahu is asking the question. This is what's interesting about this. Eliyahu starts off asking Rabbi Nahum Wright what he thinks, and then he responds in turn. Omalei, so Eliyahu, I know he said to Rabbi Nahum Wright, "Bni." This isn't true. That's correct. When Hashem sees the amphitheaters and the feasting places of the nations, they're sitting undisturbed, peaceful, you know, very, very, you know, still a hate. And his base Hamikdash is destroyed. Pilon la'olam malach rivo. He has desire to bring the world down, destroy it. Hadod d'chsev sho'ol yishag al navehu. Hashem cries out over his lodging place with shvil navehu because of his navehu. Navehu is a reference to the base of Mikdash. So the arrival of the earthquake is Hashem's upset over the destruction of the base of Mikdash. Okay, so that's Eliyahu giving another perspective of why they come. Amar Bach Mavon Mishkav Zohar is another reason for it. And Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Atozi Zato Ivorcha Al Dabar Shein Shalchor Chayech Hashanim Mazazei Olam Me'alai Sohej. I'm not going to translate these words. Just look at what it says. Rabbanan Amim Neha Machlokas. That the reason for earthquakes is discord. Benasim Gehorai Ki Yagia Gehorim El Otzal. You will flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountain will reach to Otzal. So there was apparently an earthquake in Uzziah's time, and it was because he created machlokes. Amar Rav Shmuel, Ein Rasha LeHefzik Malchus, that the earthquake is a sign of the cessation of the kingdom. In other words, there is the malchus of one king ends, and the earthquake is like a sign of that malchus ending. The land quaked and shuddered. Why did it happen? Hashem's thoughts rose up against Babel to lay an end to the Babylonian waste without inhabitants. So you see, the end of the kingdom of Babylonia was pre-staged by earthquakes. Okay, that's the idea. Now we have another question from Leon Chokolatov. Shalom, another question. This, you know, everybody. Why is, I don't know. I don't know. Okay. Yeah. Okay. The question now is, why do we have people? If you ever lived in Washington Heights, the question was, why do we have cockroaches? I mean, we had giant cockroaches when I was in Washington Heights, so I said, which never saw. They actually made sounds. Anyway. Hissing cockroaches. So anyway, why do we have these little creepy crawlers? Amalai, Sir Nehurai said, the answer is Litzark Nevru. They have a specific purpose. What happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a little kavachim. The Shoshabi is fighting when the people go ahead and they sin. Who mappeth behen? Hashem looks at the little creepy crawlers. Vaymer, he says, my Elohim Pansark, my these, or just as these. Not a kavachim, but just as these. There's no need for them. They really don't accomplish anything. Harini Makaim, and nevertheless, I keep them around. So Elu Sheyesh Tzarf, Mam Tzarf, the people who have a need, so Lokol Shekhen, certainly I should preserve them. So next time you see a little cockroach, say, thank you, cockroach. I exist because you're here. So don't be so quick to step on it, okay? Let it live. Next. Now he says, there's actually another need besides what you said. I don't think he's actually arguing on him. I'm not 100% sure whether he's just adding to it. The fly is a remedy for the sting of a bee. The bed bug is a remedy for the leech. Is the snake for the boils. The slug for sores. The spider for the sting of a scorpion. So these are different types of remedies. And you can look at the footnotes for how they use them. It has a purpose. See, I was expecting, I've been raised with science, so there's a balance of nature. You know, you have the fly it lands in the spider's web and gives the spider what to eat and so on. You know, each animal is food for the next animal. If you wipe out a species, then the other animal will cease to exist. And I was expecting to see that something like, it's necessary for the tzira to live. Not the way he was translating it. He was translating it that has to do as remedies. But anyway, that's not how he touched it. Food chain, exactly, food chain. That's what I was expecting to see. The purpose, the Rabbi Yohanan Navi is explaining it. The purpose is for man. That's correct. All right. Now we're going to go on to the next topic. I'll have brachim. Lightning. So you make a bracha. It's good enough to make the bracha once a day. You don't make the bracha for the lightning more than once a day. So the Gemara says, what are we dealing with here? In Bitordin, if the clouds remain in place continuously, then I agree. That's enough for once a day. But if the clouds disperse and then they come back and they reform again, so then you'll make it each instance. In other words, each time. And the reason for that, the Bach explains that the reason for that is because when the clouds disperse, you have a Hesach Hadas, and therefore you have to make it again. If you had a constant storm which lasted 4 days and it did not disperse, so every day you would make a new Bach. Okay? Highlight the Rabbi Yossi min Hadar. His sources from this halacha, if the person's sitting in a spice, you're sitting over there, you know, where they sell the psalmim all day, you only make one bracha in the store. But if you go out, you're going out and coming back in, each time you go out, come back in, so it's a hesach hadas. It works very well with the box explanation. So that's the rocker to this as well. Okay, next. He's just confirming what we just said. We have this before many times where they'll say a chiluk, and then they'll have other rabbanim that confirm that chiluk again. So all he's saying here, if they're in place, again, same halacha. Now, here we're getting a little more into more complicated questions. How Yeshua Beisaki said, what if you're in the bathroom? And there's suddenly a lightning strike. So now, what's the rule then? Do you make a bracha in the bathroom? Obviously not, right? Or base fikari, or whatever that is, a slaughterhouse. I guess in the slaughterhouse, it's not really a mukum where you can make a bracha with all the smells that are in there. So in Yachal Latzis Levarach Tokadei Dibur, so the Yishalmi says, if you can leave the room, Tokadei Dibur, so you got to really move. I mean, the only way this I could see possible in our day and age would be if you were in one of those green porta potties. Otherwise, I don't see how it's possible to get out in Tokadei Dibur. I mean, Tokadei Dibur. Tokadei Dibur is like no time at all. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I'm not going to get into the details. It's pretty tough. Okay. So anyway, you'd say he must leave. And love, lo yetzei, shouldn't bother leaving altogether, and don't make the bracha, and that's it. It sounds like you have, in other words, the main thing you're going to take out of this Yerushalmi is that when you do see the thunder and lightning, you have to make the bracha Tokadei Dibur. You can't see it and say, oh, wait a second, let me go get my art scroll sitter and look up what bracha it is. You missed it, okay? That seems to be obvious from this halacha. Next. Now, review your boy, how Yeshua talk based on arm. Now we have a little more interesting case. He's sitting around and he's in the raw in his house. So now what does he want to do? He's not going to certainly have enough time to get dressed, talk to the Adiver. But what could he do? He could open up his window and stick his head outside the window. So the question is his house going to be have a halakha like clothing? And his head is outside, his house is clothing his body, so to speak. And now he'll be able to make the bracha with his head out the window. Okay. Now, it says over here in the English, he has no garment which to cover himself. So they've covered themselves with that. It's yeah. No, it's very simple. He has one pair of clothes and it's in the wash. It's very simple. Very simple. That is the answer. Mashi has a basic mama, which is his house like a garment. Yotzi Rosh Chutz L'Chalo Yivar, pick his head outside the window. That's one question. That's the answer. If he's in a chest, you know, everybody does that. They go to sleep inside a chest with no clothes on. So, Migdal Maoshi Yasa looking in Malbush. Again, the same question. Is the chest like garment? Yotzi Rosh Chutz L'Chalo. And he puts his head outside of the opening of the chest. Vivar. It's one of those magic chests, you know, that they cut you in half. That's how it is. All right.
Even there,
that's true. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay, we're all enjoying this very much. Alaruchas Ma'oimer. What about a winds?
How come nobody enjoys it? Nobody has a center. All of a sudden, everybody is now alive. Okay, that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Joey. I appreciate that. It's not good. Aharuchas Ma'oimer, Brashel Kachim Mali Island. So those are the winds. So my sister Meshavan Bazaf, these are only talking about furious winds, very strong winds of Avon Benachas, and they come gently. Then he doesn't say Kach of Rosh Ma'olam. What does he say? Isa my Sabrashis. Now, what does that mean? Now, it says over here in 31 second paragraph, one does not recite a blessing over every gentle breeze. I mean, that's a little ridiculous. Rather, it speaks of winds that come gently. It refers to great winds, which, while powerful, do not blow with fury. All right? So now, winds that blow with fury are heard throughout the world. I guess, you know, like highly unusual winds, I guess. Yeah, he doesn't say the word hurricane, though. I'm hesitant to say the word hurricane. Okay, whatever it is, we don't make brachas on winds nowadays, so don't bother with it. I'm going to be from Kananya. When the wind goes out to the world, listen to what happens. We all know that Hashem breaks the winds with the mountains. That's, you know, all weather patterns have a break. They usually have a front that's by the mountain range where you'll have the front.
Yeah.
Hashem says to the wind, be careful. He's talking to the wind now. Be careful and make sure you don't hurt my creatures. Matam. How do I know this? Piruach mofona ya'atov. The wind that comes from me, ya'atov. What's ya'atov means? 33, Spasuk in Isaiah. This is Meshal Hele. He says it shall be weakened. Ya'atov is the type of weakening. My spirit becomes weak. Weak. It's interesting. Itov is a language of weakness. In the footnotes, in the big box over here, he's discussing big machlokes between the Rush and other Rishonim regarding what exactly the issue what we were discussing before when you were in the house. There's one issue called Libo Roes Ha'erva. That's where you don't have any break between your heart and your erva. You don't have so in which case right now if you had just a loosely fitting night gown that had no so that would still be a problem of Libo Roes Ha'erva. On the other hand, if you're dealing with Kisri Erva, that would be enough to be Kaseid. So the Rishonim discuss. Gartel might be for another reason also, because with Philo, you have to have it. Okay, but I'll call upon him. If I and Shalom, if you're interested in that topic. Kokach Loma, why is all this necessary? The Shomas and Yasisi, the souls I have made, the Shomas, Shalasisi, behalf of the soul, the wind shall be weakened on behalf of the souls. In other words, Hashem has to weaken the wind in order for it not to be damaging.
So it's like kind of disconnect between the creation of the wind and the weakening of the wind.
Yeah, right. So, yeah. So it's interesting. So it starts off very strong, kokol v'ras maliolam, but then you get the weaker winds, and it's also my subgracious. No, Hashem created the wind, and now the wind is kind of like roaming free, and the nature of wind by itself is just blow and blow and blow. So Hashem has to tell. Yeah. You see here, there's a shloka pratis in the wind. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, Amar Rav Huna, Shloshim comes outside of Ruach Shalom and Mishkal. There were three times that the wind went crazy. Well, Big Shlach of Asylum Kula was going to destroy the world. So Aksme, Yoina, Aksme, Eliyahu, Aksme, Yiyuf. So Yona, Eliyahu, and Yiyuf. Okay, we may Yoina, it says Hashem Hatil Ruach Gedolah. There was a big wind over there, you know, hitting the boat, right? We may Yiyuf, Hine Ruach Gedolah, Bami Evel HaMidbar. That's where the great wind was coming. And it was causing all these sorrows for Eve, right? God allowed Satan to afflict Job with various calamities, which one of which was a great wind that caused a house to collapse on his children, killing them. So that was one of the bad things over there. That's over there when it may Leo Bahara Kamral, I think it was. I think it says that was by Leo Bahara Kamral, right? Was that wrong? No, maybe I'm wrong about that. A different time. Okay, whatever. It's a different time. Kings 1, 19, 11. Okay. Now, the Gemara, now, so according to Rav Huna, there were three times in history when the wind was going to damage. Now we have a dissenting view, and that's Rav Yudon Bar Shalom, who says no, that he disagrees with two of them. That the wind was not going to affect the whole world. It was just for him alone. So it wouldn't affect the whole world. So Yonah b'shvil hay again. My Yonah, it was threatening just his boat, not the whole world. Ein loch elo shel Eliyahu. The only one, which was the one by Eliyahu's time, shel kus mikom. That was from the word. You'll see there that if you look in the root of that word, you'll see the word cosmos, and in kus mikom, whatever language that is.
Interesting. He says it because the pasuk is house Yahin. So it's only Yo's house, and it says only Yah. It's only Yah.
Only that one boat.
All the sea.
Correct.
All the houses in the neighborhood.
That's correct. Yeah. Hina Hashem over Rachak Rash Rachar Rash Ishlo Ve'ish Hashem. Okay. So it was felt throughout the world. So Raya in the Pesukim. Okay. Rabbi Huda Aimer. Harasi Yom Hagadol Aimer. Baruch Shasei Yom Hagadol. He makes that bracha. This mantray of Rukim, if he sees it in intervals, and the Gemara says, "Come, how much is the interval?" Like, so Shoshma once every 30 days. Shimon come try Yashal Reb Fi Baro. Begin another Chamor. This like Yerushalayim with Hashana. So Shimon was a cabinet maker. Okay, this is very interesting. A come Troya is a cabinet maker, and he asked Reb Fi Baro, "Shail Halach." He says, "I'm a donkey driver. I travel to Yerushalayim each year." Mao Shanikra, so what's the rule? Now, we're kind of like switching. We mentioned the idea of every 30 days. So he wants to know, do I have to do the Kriya when I see Yerushalayim? What's the deal with the interval? Right? Amalei, he says, Imbatok Shloshim Yom, if you are arriving there within 30 days of your last trip, see at the Tzarek L'Kro, you don't have to do Kriya. Laka Shloshim Yom, Tzarek L'Kriya. So when they say that when it says that he came, traveled to Jerusalem every year, doesn't mean he's going once a year. It means he goes there periodically. So that way it makes sense why the answer was he was telling.
Is that right?
Yeah. He goes there frequently. Right. So he's giving him the lowdown. So again, this is a 30-day interval. These are all halach lamaisa. That's correct. Rav Huna, the Shimon Kam Taraya, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, the Yohannes. And now we're going to talk about another teaching. This is a totally different topic, and we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson, whose name was Yohannes' son. So it says in the pasuk, this younger son was Ivan Avodah Zara, and believe it or not, it was what? It was a Navi Sheker. Yeah. Anyway, V'yohanesan Begershon ben Menashe. So it says over there, the Nun Toli, the Nun of Menashe is Toli, means it's above, written above the word, so that you could read the word Mem Shinhei, which is Moshe, or you could read it Menashe. So the idea here is everybody is familiar with Menashe, who was a famous Ovid of Adazara. So he had a choice. He could either do tshuva and be like Miuchas after Moshe, or he could continue in his bad ways and he would be more like Menashe, right? That's the idea here. Mzocha ben Moshe, wa ben Menashe. That's what it's saying. So that was another teaching that he gave. For Freiburg, Bon, Bukumi, Shmuel, Renachman, Kaimer Hoyel of Adazar, Beherch Yamim. What's going on over here? He was being a priest to the idols, and yet he enjoys a very long life. The footnotes, it says that he lived 1,000 years, which is a remarkable long time for anyone to live. 1,000 years, and this guy, they have proof from Pesukim. That's correct. The proof has to do with the because of the history of the Pesukim. Let's see, it says over here, the scripture places Yehonasan in the era of the judges, but states that he remained among the tribe of Dan until the exile of the 10 tribes, and that took place 1,000 years after that era, so clearly he merited an unusually long life. Footnote 18. Okay, they couldn't understand how a sinner lived so long. On the line, so he gave him the answer, and this is going to shock you, this answer. He was stingy with the idol that he took care of. And listen to the story. What happened? A person comes by and he wants to give and asks the sheep or go to the idol or Malay. So the guy would say to Yonasan, so appease the God for me. You know, using these karbonas here, I'm giving you, you know, a shepsalah, and go give this to the Getchkin, right? So Yonasan would say back, well, he would say to him, what are you talking about? How can this God help you? Lo roa of lo shamas. Right, and I am lehem lo yishvo, right? Lo achelas lo shosa, can't drink, it can't eat, can't drink, lo mtiva lo maria, lo mtamaras, it can't help, can't harm, it can't speak, o malay. So he'd say, chayecho manevet. So you're right, so what should we do? O malay, so what would Yonasan say to him? You know what? Ezeh aveh v'aiseh lichad pinot desolas. Go prepare for me a dish of white flour. Askeni loy eser beim, make, put 10 eggs on top of it. I mean, eggs are 10. That's kosher. That's $30. But ask and call me and place it before the idol. For who achel we call madasi, and he will eat whatever you bring. And I'm going to appease him on your behalf. And the guy would follow his advice. So he would basically, instead of giving a very, very expensive carbon, he would give like the cheapest of the cheap carbon, you know, eggs and flour, right? And as soon as the person would go away, the Yohannes would eat it. Have an awful line, he would eat the food himself. What's he going to do with all the meat, right? He's not going to eat this. He's a vegetarian, probably. So he goes ahead and he eats. That's what I told you. For the Siyam, we should have eggs. Eggs, no. Eggs and flour, that would be a good Siyam. So he's basically preventing people from doing real Avodah Zarah. First of all, he's dissuading them from even believing necessarily in the Avodah Zarah, right? And then on the other hand, he's having, so because of this, this apparently was such a schus that he merited to have such a Arichas Yomim. It's amazing. you know, it's just reminding me, you know, of this week's Pasha, you know, Yisro is Moshe's father. So it says he tried out all the Avodah Zarahs in the Gan Sevelt, right? And he tried each one, he experimented with each one, and he realized they weren't helping. So it's like he has this in his DNA, you know, from the Elta Zeta. All right. One time a certain clever person came to him. He wanted to bring an offering. Malay came, and he gave him the same speech. Amalei in among Iloklum. If this Geshka doesn't work, man, what are you doing here? You're the priest for this Avodah Zarah, and you're telling me it doesn't work. What are you doing? What are you doing here? Amalei begin chayai. It's a job. It's a job. I have a yidaf machin panosa. There you go. What do you think? Okay. So now it goes on a little further about this Yonas person. Kevin Shama Daman Hamelech. There's a question, by the way, whether he ended up dying as a Baal Tshuva or not as a Baal Tshuva. There's this, this seems to be a distinct, a Machlokas Bavli and Yushalmi in this regard. Bavli has him dying, doing Tshuva. Yushalmi, the end here, we're going to see it's not so good. Anyway, Daman Hamelech gets up. Shalach Levi, so he sends for Yonas and he brought him away. He says, at the night, Shal Isa Tzadik, you're the grandson of that Tzadik, right? He isn't going to say his name because, you know, you don't want to associate Moshe's name with this Ovid of Nazar. He says, at Ovid of Nazar, how can that be? Amalei, he said to David Amalach, Kachani Mukum Beis Aviyab, I have this tradition from Moshe Avinu, Mechor Atz Mukum Avid Nazar, sell yourself to a Getchka, but Al Titz Tarech Labius, don't be dependent on people. That's what his Kabbalah was. He had such a, you know, a Kabbalah. Hmm. On Malay, so David HaMelech told him, Kasashal. That's not what he said. Well, Mark, he never said that. What he said was, Mechor Asmachol Avoida Shehi Zaralah. Sell yourself to something which is alien to you. You know, you might have some talents, but if you can't find Parnosa, so you get a government job, okay? Al Tistach Labias, but don't become dependent on people.
That I learned it from my great grandfather.
Yeah, you could have said that. So anyway, so that's what he told him. So it was a misunderstanding. Yonah's son misunderstood the Messiah from the Zayin. Kiven Shara David Shkach Shahu Oyhev Mamun. So David HaMelech saw that he was, it says here, inordinately fond of money. Ma'asa, so what did he do? Hamidu Komos Al Tesav Goryas Shalom. He made him the minister over his treasuries. Now, I found that very odd. You know, I saw somebody really loves money. The last place I'd put him was in charge of my treasury. But that's what it says over here. So it says in 26 that by seeing to his financial needs, it made it possible for him to do tshuva. Okay, because his whole reason for being in the Avodah Zarah, working for it, was because he didn't have what to eat, right? So Hado Dixiv, Ushavuel ben Gershon ben Moshe Nagid Alaitzaros. So this name Shavuel is obviously the same person. It's the same Yichas, right? So he was appointed over the treasuries. Why was he called Shavuel? Zak Gemara Shel Shav El B'chol Libo B'chol Kol. He did Shuvah with all his heart. Nagid Alaitzaros. So he's the official appointed over the treasuries. Shavino Al Tzibar Shel here. And David Mark made him an appointment. So he did tshuva. No. Hold. Halzachai. This is while David was alive, he put him in charge of the treasury. And as long as David was alive, he was behaving himself because he had his needs taken care of. As soon as David dies, we're going to see what happens. Now, it says over here, that until the land was exiled, which makes it sound like he was still being out of Azara. So the Gemara answers. Amaloin. So they said to him, we're on pay test on base. He said, what? It says in the post.
In charge of the treasury until the dudes were chased down.
It says here, in the time of Sancheirav, hundreds of years after the death of David HaMelech, what's it say? It says, Ad Yom Golos Ha'aretz, regarding the priesthood of Yonason, that it lasted until the day the land was exiled. That's the priesthood of his serving Avodah Zarah. That's what it says. That's what it says here. With David HaMelech. That's the Gemara's going to answer right now. On my line, the Gemara says, right? Kim Shemes David, Omar Shlomo v'chilef sankalit in shalom. As soon as David HaMelech died, so Shlomo HaMelech had what we call, what do you call it when you reorg, right? He had a reorg, and he appointed new people to be in charge, and he lost his position, okay? Because of local coloration, and he goes back to his old ways. He was the false prophet over there. So, okay, so
what kind of tshuva was it that he did? If he went back, I mean, the same thing. Is that a tshuva? That was his tshuva that he did. He fell back in the same trap. I mean, as soon as things got bad, he went back to the avodah zarah. He didn't look for other. You have a comment on that?
I don't have an answer. It's a good question. I don't know. Good question.
Okay.
This question was, what kind of tshuva was that then? We said, Shavuel, Shashav, B'chol Ivo. What do you mean? He did tshuva with all his heart? And as soon as the situation changes? And Joey doesn't feel that a person does tshuva, B'chol Ivo, could go back to the same thing again as soon as the going gets tough. That's how he feels. Right, Joey?
That's basically in a nutshell.
In a nutshell. Okay. He wants to change, but he has this yonos. And also, apparently, he didn't accept David HaMelech's taich in his Masorah. He said, I have a Masorah for my Zayda. Don't you tell me what my Masorah is. My Masorah was to sell myself to Avodah Zarah, not to do an Avodah Zarah. Whatever, who knows? Next. Now we're going to get into fun stuff, which is, I'm not going to get into the details here. Obviously, there's no way I can get into that. But we're going to, at a very high level, discuss seeing the sun with Kufasa, which means every 28 years, everybody here is familiar with seeing the sun. The sun was created in the Sheshes Mebreshes on Tuesday evening. That's the Yom HaRevi. And let's say that sunset was at 6 p.m. At the beginning of the Yom HaRevi was 6 p.m. That's when the sun was created. Every 28 years, the sun returns to the exact spot that it was at that hour on that day. It's a 28-year cycle. That's why we make a special book. Now, how you make that calculation, I'm not going to deal with it here today. There's a whole long thing over here. If anybody wants to stay after this year, I'll be happy to go over with them. But let's just, at this point, just say that when you see the Chama, the Kufasa, it means when you see it in its cycle, the 28-year cycle, it comes back to the same spot it was at the time of Maaseh Bereishis. That's Halavon and B'tkufasa. That's a similar type of thing. It's a little more complicated. It also has a certain cycle, which has to do with this diagram over here. But I don't really understand that well. So just what I'm going to say is like this, that if you have the art scroll tomorrow with you, diagram A, you'll see there's the little ball of the earth over there right in the center. And what they do is they expand out around the earth a large circle. They call that the celestial sphere. And then there's the celestial equator that's equivalent to the earth's equator. And then there's the ecliptic, which is an angle which is off. Now, the first point of Aries is where the moon is. At that particular point, so the Earth hits that point twice a month, apparently. I don't exactly understand it all completely, but you have to twice a month it hits that.
There was a YouTube video that would actually describe this.
I'm sure there's plenty of stuff to explain this in detail. I don't have it. Sorry, Kim Matero, or he sees he sees the sky when it's clear. So we're going to say exactly what this is talking about. Whatever it is, we have over here. The Yishami has Yishabrachus. We have a different Yishabrachus. You make these brachos. Amar of Huna, Sir of Huna said, Hadod the Tamar. No, we don't. Because the reason we don't, we don't do the moon one either. Okay, the only one of these three that we do is the sun one. Okay, I'm Rav Huna. Hadad Tamar b'Maisak Shomer Bovat. It's only talking about where you had it was rainy season, and after Lachar Shloshim, you had 3 days of rain. And along comes the wind and blows away all the clouds, and then the sky is crystal clear blue. That's when you're going to make this block. So if you have a clear blue sky, obviously in the summer, it's no Kiddush. Every day is like that in Eretz Yisrael. But if it was the winter and a north wind blew away the clouds after 3 days of rain, that's when it merits a blessing. Hado de Siv Atalor Or, they quote a pasuk over here. Haroah Salvan Bechidusha Omer, Baruch Chanesh Chadosh. Now we're talking about we're now changing topics. Now we're talking about Kiddush Lavana. So it's talking about now, on 89b6, that a person sees the Lavana, the new moon. He says, Baruch Chanesh Chadoshim, at Eichon, until when is it considered a new moon? Now we're at the top of Tzadik Omen Aleph. Just give me 1 second while I